Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
It is 95.3 WBEV. I'm Jake Hayes, and welcome to Community Comment. It is presented by Professional Floor Covering. It is also brought to you in part by our friends at McKintry's Home Furnishings. And you can discover their service department at McKintry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. If you have a wooden chair that wiggles back and forth, they can re-glue it. They can also fix tables and footstools or other items that have loosened over time. McKintry's will rewire lamps. Plus, they can come to your home and repair your lift chairs because they keep all the necessary parts in stock and ready to go. McKintry's is an authorized service center for all Lazy Boy products. Take advantage of their outstanding free delivery service when you purchase your furniture at McKintry's. They will unpack and inspect your furniture and deliver it for free and place it in your room right where you want it. They also do creative picture framing. Their staff will help you select just the right frame and matting to enhance your artwork as well as your home. Do you need a little help with how to place the furniture in your room? Their design team can help. Discover McKintry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam, where customers matter and quality counts. And now, without further ado, we will throw it over to Terry Bell for today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Thank you very much, Jake. We are joined on the phone today by State Representative Mark Bourne to talk about all kinds of things happening that affect people here in the Beaver Dam area. And it's been a very busy time with the state legislature just having wrapped up. So, Representative Bourne, thanks so much for being with us today.
Hey, good morning, Terry. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you too, Mark. So, yeah, it has you play a very important role in the budget process, which just passed recently, and it was quite a flurry of activity there at the end.
Yeah, it's been it was certainly a busy time period. The budget is always a very busy time period for the Finance Committee, and being the Assembly Co-Chair of the Finance Committee certainly makes it for a stressful and busy time. But this time was a little different. We had a lot more active negotiations with the governor than we have had in the past, which I think ultimately turned out to bring a good compromise for this budget that, you know, crafted another good budget for the state of Wisconsin. But it was a much more difficult process to work through. But it was important to, and we talked a little bit about this last time I was on, you know, but it was important to work with the governor and in split government like this to try to get a compromise so that we can get real things done for the state, and rather than just one point of view. And the governor had his priorities, and the legislature had theirs. And we were able to find some common ground. You know, I think that the governor probably pushed us higher in spending than the legislature would have liked to have been in some key areas like education and child care. But the legislature was able to greatly reduce it from the governor's position, which was just unrealistic. The state couldn't afford it. And so we kind of found the sweet spot in the compromise of, okay, let's make some key investments in these areas, but make sure it's affordable long-term for the state. You know, we're not like the federal government where we can have a budget that's out of balance or we can just print money. We have to make sure that these investments are reasonable for the state. And then the legislature was looking for key reforms to try to either make government more efficient or reduce the size of government. And we were also looking for tax cuts, because we talked about this last time I was on, I think, too, that, you know, the balance is important. You have to have investments in key areas that people expect, like roads and education. But we also have to have a good tax policy so that we're competitive, especially in the Midwest, for economic growth and for a good place to do business, because otherwise our state's going to be harmed in the future and not have the revenue that we need to support these areas of key investments that people expect. So I think the compromise, the negotiations led to some common sense things, some good investments, some great tax relief, and some good reforms that kind of put together a package that's good for the state of Wisconsin.
Specifically, what would you consider to be some of the wins from this budget?
Well, and of course, there's a lot because it's a huge document that impacts everybody in the state in different ways. But I think the biggest areas are The tax cuts are super important, like I just said, $1.5 billion in actual tax relief and targeting the middle class and retirees. I think the retiree one is a really new and good improvement in our tax climate to try to make it easier for folks to stay in Wisconsin. You know, we spend a lot of time working on, talking about making sure Wisconsin's a great place to live, work, and raise a family. And this new tax policy also makes it a great or better place to retire. And when I look at our seniors and the cost of staying in your home and things like that in the area, that's an area where some relief is needed. And you look at folks that have spent their lifetime here, you know, raising a family and you know, sometimes starting a business or helping make a local business great. And then when it comes time to retire, it gets pretty hard to afford some of the things. And you look at other states that have, you know, no taxes on retirees and stuff, and you start to think, man, maybe I should relocate. But we want people to be able to stay here and enjoy the things that they helped build and watch their grandkids grow up and things like that. So I think that's an important policy change. We also did another tax change of removing the sales tax from your utility bill, your electric bill, which I think is helpful for family budgets, you know, recognizing that we've been through some tough inflationary times lately, try to help those family budgets a little bit. And then the key investments, I continue to hear a lot about transportation and roads in our district. And so we, again, invested more in local roads. We did it with less bonding than the governor. I think that's important to focus on some of the agricultural road programs in Dodge and Fond du Lac County and things like that. Key investments in education, again, K-12 especially, that continues to always be important, both in public schools and choice schools, making sure that we have opportunities for families and for the young people of the state. They're the future. So $1.4 billion of new money into K-12 education. I think there's some new money in the UW system, but more importantly, there's some reforms. I think that's one of the key parts of the UW thing, because a lot of people are recognizing that there's some real problems here. They've got some real administrative bloat, some real reckless spending that needs to get under control. And so some of the reforms, I think, are key there. Child care is something that we've talked a lot about on Community Comment in the last probably year. And that was another one where there's both investments, some new investments, and some reforms to make us more competitive in that industry, to be, and not something where we're reinventing the wheel. We're changing some of the staffing ratios and stuff to be similar to what neighboring states are. So it's not like we're doing anything that's reckless or dangerous. It's things that have been implemented in Minnesota, for example, for years. But, you know, we were a little bit more restrictive in some of our regulatory stuff. So let's match what some of these other neighboring states have been doing successfully. So I think that's certainly an important area of some both reforms and key investments. And I think the last thing I guess I would mention, since it was kind of a broad question, I appreciate the opportunity to share some of these things, is another key thing to me is trying to have less government and smaller government. And that might sound impossible because everyone knows that we spend more every budget, you know, more money comes in, there's more need, there's inflationary costs, and this budget certainly pushed some things, but we still cut positions. We cut 300 positions from the base. We did 1,200 less positions than what the governor wanted to do in his budget. We did things like stopping welfare expansion that the governor had in his budget. And I think that stuff is important, too, because in the governor's eyes, the government can't be big enough and can't be more, you know, too involved in our lives. And I strongly disagree with that, and I know the folks in the 37th Assembly District strongly disagree with that. And so trying to find some balance between, you know, key investments in areas and things that are important to folks like education and transportation, but how do we slow or stop or reduce the bloat in government and some of this growth? And so we were able to chip away at that in this budget. This is at least the third consecutive budget now. It's how long I've been co-chair that we've chipped away at those positions and trying to slow and actually reduce the growth of government. And I think that stuff's important, too.
We're talking to State Representative Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam about the recently concluded state budget process and some other things happening in Madison that affect people back in the district. We're going to take a break here and then be right back on Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Save big on everything for your next outdoor project when you shop at Menards. Shop our huge in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber, decking, fencing, and timbers. All easy to load in our drive-through lumber yard. Get free estimates fast with our easy-to-use fence and deck design programs in-store and on Menards.com. Don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Washington County's biggest event of the summer is happening July 22nd through the 27th. It's the Washington County Fair presented by Lynch Buick GMC. Nashville Next featuring Chris Lane, Foreigner, and Russell Dickerson headline the Silver Lining Amphitheater. The fun continues with the Paul Bunyan Lumberjacks, thrilling exhibitor competitions, and a Wednesday night feature truck and tractor pool. Get your tickets now at WCFairPark.com. It's all happening at the Washington County Fair from July 22nd through the 27th, where fun takes center stage.
Step into a world so fine, shiny floors that truly shine, tiles and wood you'll adore, get it all at Professional Floor. Showers, blinds, counters too, everything just like brand new. They've got what you're looking for, only here at Professional Floor.
Okay, full disclosure, we still don't sing here, but since I've got the mic, let me drop some knowledge. At Professional Floor Covering, we've got the best brands and styles for every project. Whether you're looking for cabinets, blinds, flooring, or more, we're here to make your home look amazing. Check out our showroom to explore our wide range of luxury vinyl plank flooring. Need a bathroom makeover? We've got custom marble and ceramic showers and countertops to elevate your space. And if you're thinking kitchen upgrade, our cabinet and porcelain tile selection is top-notch. Take a look online at proflr.com and stop in to visit us at 713 Park Avenue. Time to hand the mic back.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And we are back with more Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV. I'm Jake Hayes, and we are going to throw it to Terry Bell for more of today's Community Comment.
Thank you very much, Jake. We're talking to State Representative Mark Bourne about everything happening that lawmakers are doing that affect our quality of life back here in the district. If you would like to join the conversation, you can call or text 920-887-9595. That's 920-887-9595. Or call us directly here at the studio at 885-4446. Representative Bourne, I understand that what a bone of contention in the recently completed process was the matter of the Veterans Housing and Recovery Program and the closure of the two facilities coming up, one in Chippewa Falls, one in Green Bay, and helps veterans at risk. And I can't imagine that was an easy decision for anyone. Talk us through how all that came to be.
Yeah, so earlier this week, the governor put out a press statement that they were closing two of the three facilities in this Veterans Housing and Recovery Program. And this is something that's kind of been trending that way for a while. And so he's kind of a little bit disingenuous in using the budget as an excuse, but both those facilities that are being closed were operating at about half their capacity, and because of that, they were getting less federal reimbursement, and so he asked for a bunch of money as kind of a bailout in this budget, and we looked at that and said, you know what, that's not the right way to go about this. You're going to have to right-size this operation somehow. We're not just going to fund it at a much higher level of cost because operationally the facilities are challenged. You have less people there that are making your cost per individual higher. Part of it's the management, right? You got to figure out how to right-size the operation. Now, I don't know if the best way to right-size it was to close two of the three facilities. That's obviously what they decided to do. But I think that's one thing that's important for folks to understand is that, you know, the request was kind of just to put a Band-Aid on this with a whole bunch more money as opposed to figuring out what the actual need is and what the right size of the operation is. And this is not something that's a common operation in most states. thankfully, there was less need for it, so it was being underutilized, which was driving up the costs. And so I think most of this is just trying to right-size the operation. I think the second point I want to make about this is, you know, these things, like you said, it wasn't an easy decision because we do take veteran stuff seriously. This is a great state for veterans. We make massive investments in this area, and we should. We owe these folks a lot. And so I want to make sure that folks understand these are not the veterans' homes, not the veterans' nursing homes. The main ones in King is King up in central Wisconsin. There's also one down in the southeast. Those are continuing to be fully supported. Now, also there, because of underutilization, the state is subsidizing those pretty heavily. An additional $5 million was transferred into those in this budget just to kind of keep them functioning properly. But that's for our elderly veterans, those nursing homes. And, you know, overall, we make a lot of investments here. There's a fund that's supposed to support veterans stuff that come, where the federal money comes in and where fees from, like, the nursing homes come in. And that fund doesn't support the programs. We transferred in this budget alone $34.4 million from our state general fund, so from the income and sales tax we collect from people all over the state, into that veterans trust fund to support all these veteran programs in Wisconsin, including the current funding for this housing and recovery program, including the homes, including your things like your county veteran service officers and all of the veterans programs. So between that transfer and some new money to the Camp American Legion and increases to county veteran service officers and veterans transportation grants and all kinds of stuff in this budget, you know, we're well over $40 million of state investment along with federal and some fees on top of that for the total spend. So there's certainly significant stuff being spent on veterans programs in the state, as there should be. Unfortunately, this housing and recovery program was kind of a struggling program that kind of needed better management and to be right-sized. And, you know, the governor's option for that was just to pile a bunch of more money into it. We didn't think that was the right way to manage the program, and that's kind of where the difference comes in. But veterans are important. Certainly we want to make key investments there. This program needs to be better run, and a lot of that falls on the governor and the Department of Veterans.
Another big issue in this budget was, of course, getting it passed in time to kind of mitigate some of the effects to Medicaid that are anticipated to happen. Sounds to me like there is still some work to be done. We don't know exactly how changes to Medicare are going to affect Wisconsin yet. What can you tell us? What do we know at this point?
Well, I think we're still trying to figure out what the feds, actually maybe the feds are still trying to figure out exactly what they're doing. They did pass that one bill, but I don't think we know how much that's going to impact the state yet. And so far it hasn't impacted in any significant way. You know, we took part of the deal of this bill that I think you were referencing was to take a hospital assessment that we already have in place and increase it a little bit so that we could capture some more federal money that we could fund hospitals with. And that certainly was a great thing to do for Wisconsin, to bring more of that federal Medicaid money in to help balance some of those costs. Because the Medicaid cost to continue in this state was the highest I've ever seen it. It was about $1.5 billion just to maintain that Medicaid program. And that's not, and you actually did something that's very common and slipped up between Medicaid and Medicare, and that's where there's a lot of confusion.
Ah, okay. Sorry about that.
And, yeah, and you, everyone does it. That's why it's so confusing. Medicaid is the welfare health insurance program, and that's what we're talking about. Medicare, of course, is the one for retirees. I think once you reach 67, that's a completely different program funded through a different federal bucket. The state doesn't fund any of that. So Medicaid is where this real issue is and where these massive costs are. And we have so many people on this Medicaid welfare program that the costs are just skyrocketing. So we captured more of this federal money with this assessment to help us fund some of that cost to continue, because otherwise how do we fund roads and education and stuff when all of our money is getting sucked into, I mean, almost all of our growth? The state is in a good financial position. The economy is still strong. Businesses are doing well. You know, we were looking at about $2 billion worth of new money growth in this biennial budget, but $1.5 billion of that was being sucked into maintaining this welfare program that the federal government requires us to do. And so that was a problem for investments in other key areas, and we had to find a way to balance that out. So we were able to do this assessment, capture some more federal money, bring about $1 billion of new federal money into the state, you know, worked with our congressional delegation. I talked with Representative Fitzgerald and Representative Grothman from this area quite a bit about this. And so that helped with the balancing of the budget and covering some of that Medicaid expenses. But really, I mean, federal reforms are needed in this. It's just the costs, much like special education, which is a different federal issue in K through 12, but these federal mandates that are not funded are starting to cripple states with their ability to maintain the funding that's required under federal law with these. And so something's got to be done. Either the Fed's got to do a better job of funding it, or they got to reform it, because it's costing states too much.
And the last step in the budget process is the governor's vetoes. Any thoughts on how the vetoes came out and whether or not you can support them?
Well, for the this time, there were a lot less vetoes to start with because of the compromise, so that's a good thing. I think it was only like a couple dozen, 23 maybe, if I'm remembering right. There were a few that were a little bit surprising, kind of different. I think that, you know, he made a change to the juvenile corrections daily rate, which is maybe a little bit in the weeds for folks, but it's one of those things where it's expensive to run these juvenile prisons because of, like, the level of counseling and stuff and the staffing that's needed for them. And the counties were concerned about how high the cost had gotten, and they weren't wrong. It was super expensive, but it was the cost of doing business. And so he vetoed their assessments on those down, and so it destabilized the fund, and I'm not sure what their plan is moving forward, but it's going to be an issue with funding those juvenile prisons in the future. But I think that was probably the biggest one. There were other minor things like some state park admissions fees and stuff that were, I thought, a little bit unusual. And then there were some petty vetoes where he just vetoed some earmarks and some small earmarks in some members' districts. But I think regionally, and none of those were in this area. And I think regionally they've already gotten some blowback on some of those where the DNR has indicated that they're probably going to do the projects anyway because it was just the right thing to do. So it was almost like, because of the compromise, he didn't have a lot of things to change, but felt like he had to change something. So he made some relatively minor vetoes that a lot of them even seemed kind of petty in the big picture, but overall did not make a significant change to the budget. So I think that's the most important thing. The budget's pretty much intact as it was developed by the Finance Committee and approved by the legislature, and I think that's a good thing for the state of Wisconsin.
This is Community Comment. We're talking to State Representative Mark Bourne. We're going to take a break for the news right now, then be right back on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Catch the Milwaukee baseball game this Sunday on 95.3 WBEV and listen for the Columbus Family Dental Mystery Player of the Game. Then tune in to the 95.3 WBEV morning show the following business day. Be the correct number caller when we ask who was the Columbus Family Dental Mystery Player of the Game. Get it right, and you'll win a pair of Milwaukee baseball tickets. Be sure to listen to 95.3 WBEV this Sunday for Milwaukee baseball's Mystery Player of the Game, brought to you by Columbus Family Dental.
Why have cake by the ocean when you could have ice cream by the splash pad? On Friday, July 18th, Newman Pools is celebrating their 50th anniversary from 11 to 1 at Swan Park in Beaver Dam. There will be a brat fry with WBEV. Pay only $2 for a brat and a beverage. Then you can enjoy that ice cream that we talked about for free. Family fun awaits at the Swan Park Splash Pad in Beaver Dam. Grab some lunch, splash around, and celebrate 50 years of memories with Newman Pools.
Whether you're waking up or getting ready to hit the hay, you can always count on great content from 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge in the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Labor Department releasing new numbers showing producer prices, what companies pay for wholesale for items, held steady last month. And numbers out yesterday showed consumer prices went up last month by the fastest pace since February compared to a year ago. Another 20 Palestinians killed at an aid distribution site in Gaza. Many in the region have been critical of the way those sites have been set up, saying food and water is distributed in a chaotic and dangerous way. While this incident did not involve shooting, it did turn into a stampede, says ABC's Marcus Moore.
All along, they've made the point that these incidents, the shootings that have occurred, have all been away from the sites. But the issue that critics are bringing up is that these sites have been described as, quote, death traps.
The Pentagon ending the deployment of 2,000 National Guard troops in Los Angeles. They were sent there to help the city deal with the protests over Trump administration immigration policies. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
WBEV News, I'm Terry Bell. The man charged with abducting a pregnant teenage girl from Beaver Dam last winter is pleading not guilty. Gary Day's arraignment was yesterday. Day faces four felony charges in Dodge County, including abducting a child and child enticement. If convicted, the 40-year-old faces up to 80 years in prison. He also faces charges in Nebraska and Arkansas. As many as 111,000 people in Wisconsin could lose Medicaid coverage under the federal Big Beautiful Budget Bill. Jenny Farmer is a benefits specialist with Dodge County. She says there are still a lot of unknowns. Benefits specialist Amanda Higgins says now would be a good time to contact your federal and state representatives. People in Beaver Dam now have a new option for electronic recycling. The Department of Public Works and Digital Red are accepting certain electronics. That includes all kinds of home computers. They'll even securely wipe the data for you. Beaver Dam residents can stop by the Public Works facility on Commercial Drive. The Amtrak Borealis route has reached a milestone. The passenger train has served 250,000 riders since it started operating last year. The route runs between Chicago and the Twin Cities with 11 stops in Wisconsin, including Columbus. The milestone was reached over the 4th of July weekend. A new shipwreck's been discovered in Oshkosh during a search for another sunken vessel. Archaeologists were searching the Fox River this spring for the wreck of the Berlin City. That led to the discovery of a partially buried hull that belonged to a wooden steamer that burned and sank in 1880. I'm Terry Bell, reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at DailyDodge.com.
Chance for storms today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 86. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tonight, chance of thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 58. Slight chance of rain showers. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 71. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Currently, 81.
Keep your cool when things heat up. If your air conditioner is struggling, Air Care in Beaver Dam has a toolbox full of solutions just for you. Whether your equipment needs a tune-up or repair, service is available all day, every day. And if it's time for something new, AirCare has the staff, experience, and equipment ready to go. Visit aircareinc.com or call 920-356-8860 and stay cool this summer with AirCare.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. No, it's not Christmas, it's rummaging season. If you're hosting a rummage, garage, yard, or estate sale and want to get the word out, drop off a card with the date, time, and location in the mailbox in front of the WBEV studios at 100 Bill McCollum Way in Beaver Dam. Each Thursday morning at 8:35 a.m., we'll announce it on the WBEV Morning Show. Or look for the rummage sale post on WBEV Radio Facebook each week and leave your details in the comments.
At Marshfield Medical Center Beaver Dam Orthopedic Clinic, advanced care meets personalized expertise. Their team of skilled general and specialty orthopedic surgeons is dedicated to helping you move better, offering both surgical and non-surgical solutions. They specialize in hip and knee replacement, as well as joint revision, shoulder replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, and hand and upper extremity care. Call 920-219-4009 today or visit marshfieldclinic.org/beaverdam to learn more.
These are the happenings in your community. Thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And we are back with more Community Comment here on 95.3 WBEV. It is presented by Professional Floor Covering and Abbey Design Center at 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. You can visit their website at proflr.com. They are locally owned. Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space with over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood, tile, area rugs, and window finishings. It's so much more than floors. It's a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. And speaking of what's going on over at Professional Floor Covering, you can check out their cabinetry if you want your kitchen cabinetry to not only look beautiful, but to last for years to come. You can partner with top brands who offer unrivaled quality and craftsmanship. From traditional to modern kitchen cabinets, their cabinetry team is here to help you, or to here help inspire you and create your dream kitchen. And now, without further ado, here is Terry Bell with more Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Thank you, Jake. We're on the phone with State Representative Mark Bourne. If you would like to ask the representative a question or offer a comment, go ahead and join the conversation. You can call or text at 920-887-9595 or give us a call right here at the studio at 885-4446. One project causing a lot of excitement here in the Beaver Dam area, of course, is the projected data center project. And that was made possible with legislation that I'm sure, Mark, you had a lot of involvement with.
Yeah, this is something, too, that we've been able to, a few months ago when we introduced the bill, we were able to talk about on Community Comment. And there's some confusion with it. I think there was even some confusion in the governor's office about what it actually does. But the bill ultimately ended up creating an exemption for TIF districts in the cities of Port Washington and Beaver Dam, where there happens to be these data centers being developed right now. And the bill itself does not actually do anything for the data centers. Those are, if you're in the Beaver Dam area, you know full well that that's already happening. If you've been out on the north side of Beaver Dam at all, there is a ton of earth being moved out there. The data center is already under construction. But what happens is the city creates a TIF district there, a tax incremental financing district, to help incentivize that development. And there are limits in Wisconsin law on how much value of TIF district you can have in your community. And so because these data centers are so huge and such a huge investment that's coming into the community, it would limit the ability of Beaver Dam to do future districts like that for quite a while. And so what the bill does is exempts those data centers from being counted as part of the TIF restrictions, I guess you could say. And it allows then Beaver Dam, and in this case also Port Washington, to continue to do their economic development, use TID as a tool, as we always have in the Beaver Dam area. Really, I would say, you know, pretty successfully. I was on the city council more than 20 years ago, and we've been using these development districts pretty successfully, both for industry and now more recently. There's a housing one off of Olinger Road there in Beaver Dam. And so this just allows Beaver Dam to continue to do their economic development in the way that they have. And so it really has a big impact on the city of Beaver Dam's future and allowing them to continue to grow and use that economic development tool as they always have for really generations to come. And so certainly proud to get that accomplished. I think it has a major, like I said, a major impact for the future of Beaver Dam and allowing the city and their economic development folks to continue to have the same tools they've always had. And it was really, you know, great to work with the city attorney in Beaver Dam and the economic development folks to accomplish this.
These data centers appear to be the next big thing in Wisconsin. You mentioned Beaver Dam and Port Washington. Now we're getting word of a proposal for DeForest. You know, is this the next kind of big industry that Wisconsin will be known for?
Well, I think they're happening all over the country, and they weren't happening in Wisconsin up until recently because we didn't have the right tax climate for it. But two budgets ago, we improved the tax climate for it, and that's part of why we're seeing these now. And so we have the Microsoft one down in the Kenosha area. We have one developing now in Beaver Dam. There's one about to start in Port Washington. And then, yes, this week there's a new group that's interested in one in the forest area. I don't know if it will be, you know, something that takes the whole state by storm, because you're probably only going to have – there's going to be a limit to these at some point, and then they're going to move on to other states because they're going to need to have the technology all over the place. But there's certainly going to be a handful of these developed in Wisconsin. You know, that's why the original legislation that we wanted to do would have made a statewide policy for these. Unfortunately, the governor's office didn't want to do that, so we just ended up in the bill just doing Port Washington and Beaver Dam. So any future ones will have some limitations that will have to be addressed by future legislatures, I guess. So like this DeForest one, you know, isn't included as part of the legislation that was signed by the governor here a few days ago.
This may be a little bit of a hard pivot, but recently the Supreme Court handed down its decision in the case known as Evers versus Markline that put some new limits on what the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules can do when it comes to, I guess, what would be the governor's equivalent of executive orders. Clarify that a little bit for us and whether or not you think that's a good development.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate ruling. It's maybe not a surprise with how liberal the Supreme Court is now and how much they want to seem to strip power away from the legislature. But by eliminating this oversight, it really gives state agencies way more power and latitude. And, of course, they aren't elected by anyone. Those are state employees, bureaucrats, whatever you want to call it, running these agencies. And yes, a lot of them do a great job, but when you're giving the agencies power on this rulemaking with no oversight outside of the governor's office, it's pretty concerning. And so taking away that legislative oversight is concerning, and it could have a significant impact on businesses and families in Wisconsin, depending on how far they try to push their administrative rules. And obviously, administrative rules are supposed to be a reflection of what the law is, but when there's no oversight, the only thing that prevents an agency from going beyond the law would be a new lawsuit to try to rein in that power. So I think we're going to see a lot of agencies writing administrative rules that skirt the law, extend the law, go outside the law to try to regulate things the way a particular administration prefers to regulate it, whoever's in power at the time. And that's not good for the state overall. And so it's probably going to lead to more litigation, and ultimately the court is going to have to in some way limit the power of those agencies. But I think it was better when we had oversight. It's kind of a checks and balances. It's part of how our government was created at the federal level, and the states reflect that, where they're supposed to be separate but equal branches that have similar power that can do some oversight to help protect the citizens. And that was something that was definitely lost in this ruling, and unfortunately it will probably lead to a lot more litigation, and we'll see how things play out, and at times it'll lead to some big challenges, probably especially for businesses in Wisconsin.
We have a caller on line one. Caller, you're on Community Comment with State Representative Mark Bourne. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for letting me talk. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hi, good.
I think I have my answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. To a lot of people, it looks like a lot of farmland that's being wasted on these things, especially when it's prime farmland.
I assume you're talking about the data center?
Well, there is numerous ones. I live out on B, and I have a solar farm right behind me. And it just seems like it's a lot of A1 agricultural farmland that is being used up. And I always thought that there was a thing where you could not use that when it's A1 farm, that it had to be not as good a farmland that you could build stuff on. So do you know where I'm coming from? Does this make any sense?
Yes. Yeah, I do. And so there's several things here. And so there is concerns about things like solar farms. The windmills a little bit, but they don't have as big an impact. And then now the data centers and using farmland. And so that's certainly a legitimate concern. It's something that we've been working on with the Farm Bureau as a statewide policy. There's been some legislation that's been discussed about basically, I think what's going to happen eventually, if we can find the right compromise on the legislation, is that these type of projects will be encouraged to use, and I'm not going to remember all the ratings on the farmland you talked about, R1, there's other, so they're going to be encouraged to use lower level farmland, to put it in a simple way, and if they can't do that for their projects, they're going to have to pay offsets to help preserve farmland elsewhere to do it, I think is what the ultimate goal is going to be, to kind of help find a compromise on that. Because on some of this stuff, like these data centers, I mean, everybody wants their phones to work and stuff nowadays too, right? So you got to have the technology, but you also, you're right, you're raising a good concern about protecting farmland and making sure we have the right amount of farmland. And
when we have a business, and when we moved out here, we had to go through, I mean, and I'm sure they do too, we had to go through all kinds of hoops and everything, and they wanted to make sure it wasn't A1 farmland that we were using. So, you know, and I think that is in a lot of people's minds, and I understand that it's up to the farmer whether they want to sell or not, you know. And, I just, when you drive around and you see all this stuff, that's the first thing that comes to my mind is, are we going to be eliminating farmland completely, or how much are we diminishing it as to what crops are going to be grown for us, and are we going to have enough?
Right. And I think you're raising the right concerns, and that's why we're looking at working on legislation, I think, for long-term. I think there's two important points that I'd like to remind folks of, though, and you just said one of them about folks being able to decide what they want to do with their land and who they want to sell to. And so, you know, that's always a really important part of this, too, and we have to be careful not to over-regulate this so that we're not allowing personal freedom and capitalism and things to still play a role. I mean, I don't think people want to be told who they can sell their land to or who they can lease their land to or for how much. That's not really the way our system's set up, so that's one concern. And then a second one that folks need to be reminded of, because sometimes you see it in your area and it looks like it's a lot, and it is a lot maybe at that location, but even on the solar farms, which is kind of a whole different debate from the data centers, that at this point is still a very tiny percentage of the land, farmland in Wisconsin that's being taken up by those. But that's why we're working on a policy, because we want to make sure that we set something up that, as far as the percentage of land right now, it's not a real problem. But we don't want to make it, we don't want to let it become a problem, right? We want to set a policy with our partners in the industry and stuff to make sure that we have a good balance of protecting good farmland. It's certainly, this is an ag state. It's a key part of our economy. It's part of that three-legged stool that we like to talk about of our manufacturing, our agriculture, and our tourism industries that make everything in Wisconsin happen. So we want to protect that, and so your point is certainly well taken.
Thank you very much, caller.
Thank you for taking my question.
Of course, and thank you for calling. We're going to take a quick break here, then be right back for more community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
The WBEV Morning Show with Wade Bates and Sherry Sackett.
Floyd, no, you were in education, right? Is that true?
Yes, yeah, an educator in Beaver Dam for 30 plus years.
So did you have Sherry as a student?
Yeah, she was a very good student, but the problem was the boys always wanted to talk to her.
Oh.
So I kind of put her in the back of the room.
It's raining men. Hallelujah, it's raining.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Discover the service department at McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. If you have a wooden chair that wiggles back and forth, we can re-glue it. We can also fix tables and footstools or other items that have loosened over time. We can rewire lamps. Plus, we can come to your home and repair your lift chairs because we keep all the necessary parts in stock and ready to go. We are an authorized service center for all Lazy Boy products. Our best service is free delivery. When you purchase your furniture at McKinstry's, we unpack and inspect your furniture, deliver it for free, and place it in your room right where you want it. We also do creative picture framing. Our staff will help you select just the right frame and matting to enhance your artwork as well as your home. Do you need a little help with how to place furniture in your room? Our design team can help. Discover McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam, where customers matter and quality counts.
McKinstry's Home Furnishings. Year after year, McKinstry's.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin State Fair. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away State Fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win State Fair tickets.
Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Here's more on community comment with Terry Bell.
Thank you very much. We're on the phone with State Representative Mark Boren. Mark, with the few minutes we have left, what are some things that you'd like to accomplish for the rest of the session? I know the legislature kind of slows down a little bit in the summer, but there's still work to do.
Yeah, we'll be back in with legislative floor periods in September, October, November, December. And so to be ready for that, then the committee process does work, continue through the summer. You got to move bills through that process in order to have them ready for the floor period. So it is a slower period, but it's not like things are shut down or like in a complete recess or anything like that. And so there's a few things. My office is working on some legislation to reform the way we do capital projects in the state. The system right now is, it takes so long to do a capital project, like a building renovation or a new building on a UW campus, for example, that the costs just escalate so quickly as you're working through that process. And so we're looking to kind of rework that process, try to make it more efficient, to do better planning on the front end before, in the case of like my example of a UW building, before the Board of Regents or the legislature would even approve a project, that they have more design work done, true costs figured out, and that way they can move maybe a little faster through the process, because even a couple of years faster through the process will save millions on these projects. And so it's a pretty messed up system right now, and so we're working on some reforms of that and working with stakeholder groups and with the Department of Administration and things like that. And I think you'll also see the legislature focus more on some public safety stuff in the fall session, as that's always a topic that's important to folks, and there's always opportunity for some improvement there. But I think also then, you know, one of your questions earlier was about some of the federal impacts. And so I think some of what you're going to probably see in the fall session, we may not even know what it is yet, because we're continuing to monitor changes at the federal level. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there's some tweaks or responses to some of that that's needed, and that will probably end up playing a significant role in the fall session, is my guess.
Certainly. We talked about a Supreme Court ruling earlier. Wanted to talk about another case, and that's a decision on the Joint Committee on Finance Supplemental Appropriation Fund. I take it you're pretty happy about that outcome, and how do you think it'll affect Wisconsin?
Yeah, that one was a significant ruling. A unanimous court said that the governor a literacy bill that didn't have an appropriation in it was an unlawful, unconstitutional veto, and it protected the continued use of the JFC supplemental account. And the reason that that's important for folks is that this is an account that we use when there's a new idea or a new project that just needs more work. It basically allows for more compromise and more negotiation to go on. It's not ready for prime time maybe when the budget comes along, but we think it's a good idea that could help the state. So we can set money aside in the supplemental and then run a separate legislation through the process so that it has hearings and has input from the community, from stakeholder groups, from the governor. Ultimately, the governor can weigh in with, through the process. And then also ultimately, if the governor doesn't like the way the program's created, they can just veto the bill. That's happened in the past as well. But it allows for that process to work through. Otherwise, without an account to set that aside and allow the legislature and the governor and stakeholders to work on it, there's really no way to create these new programs without just giving a blank check to the governor and the agency and saying, you guys figure it out yourself. And that's not a good way to do new policy for a state. The legislature should be not just the budget, but also the policy-setting body. That's the way our system of government is set up. And so the supplemental account allows for that process to work and for more compromise and negotiating to work and really do things in a better way for the state. So it's good that account was saved in this lawsuit. And the court, you know, unanimously ruled that the governor was overreaching his authority in this case. So that was certainly an important win for the state and for, you know, the future of the state as far as creating policy that works in tandem with our budget process.
Summertime is a good time to interact with constituents. A lot of events going on. Where do you expect to be, and how can people get a hold of you and your office if they have a specific concern?
Well, now that the budget is done and I'm not spending so much time in Madison, thankfully, I will be able to be in the district a lot more. So I will be at a lot of events in the 37th Assembly District. Just, you know, some things as simple as I was up at the Knights of Columbus Bratfry in Waupun on Saturday for a good lunch and, you know, things like that. But then also major events like, you know, obviously was in the Knowles Parade on the 4th of July. I look forward to upcoming Labor Day parade in Randolph and parade in Mayville and in September and things like that. And Dodge County Fair, of course, is a huge place to meet folks and to see folks, and so I always spend a lot of time out there. But also, you know, contact the office. We're now that I'm back in the district more, we're actively scheduling meetings that we had to put off with local constituents so we can meet in Beaver Dam or Waupun or wherever you are in the district and talk about things and work on things. So you can always call the office, 608-237-9137, or just go online. That's what most people do, because if you go online, you can get the email, you can get the phone number off there, you can send a message right through the website. And so get in touch with the office, and they can help you, or if we need to set up a phone call or a meeting or something with me, we can certainly do that as well.
Speaking of the Dodge County Fair, that's where we'll be next time we talk. I'm looking forward to seeing you out at the fairgrounds.
That will be excellent. It's always good to have a nice community comment right there in Radio Park.
Yeah, we're really excited about the new Good Karma Brands Radio Park, and it'll be a great time. State Representative Mark Bourne, I know you're very busy, so thank you for taking an hour to talk with us, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for having me. We'll see you next month.
You've been listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Thanks for being with us.